Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is host of PS I Love You XOXO, aka host of WWE's This Is Awesome, aka
New Episode Friday,
WWE Superstar, Greg Miller.
Hello, Blessing. How are you?
Doing good, Greg. How's it going with you?
It's great. I'm happy to be here. A lovely Wednesday.
Reviewing
Dead Space this afternoon, posting tomorrow.
Oh, how's it going?
That. I can't,
blink
I
twice
can't, I can't, I'm not
if
gonna,
it's game of the year 2023.
I'm not blinking or doing anything.
Blink
I
once
refuse
if it's terrible.
To blink. I won't blink this entire show.
I need some good news, because looking through our news stories, the bleak news day. We had bleak news day on Friday, and we salvaged it a little bit toward the end there with a really great audience-submitted question. I need some good news from you to start off this episode. It could be good news. It could just be good vibes. Could be whatever.
I'm excited to go to the Royal Rumble. I'm going to San Antonio for the first time this weekend to do some WWE work. Excited for that.
Oh, hell yeah.
First episode of This Is Awesome in our studio, The Spare Bedroom, is posting on Friday on WWE Network and Peacock. It's, you know, quite the step up from my basement, I guess.
How does it feel to actually be able to do a big production like that from The Spare Bedroom? Because, of course, we've done the kind of funny stuff, but being able to do something for a different network probably hits different.
Oh, for sure. Of course, that. And just getting to use it and flex the muscle, right, of, like, what this space can actually do. You know better than anybody with the Blessing Show, getting to use the video floor and stuff like that. But that was my first time using the video floor when we recorded the stuff for this show. And it was trying to learn to walk again after sitting for so long, staring at the camera 2 inches from your face. The ability to move and do all this and, like, actually use the space around me was very, very different.
It reminded me when you got on there how tall you were.
Sure.
Because obviously,
like, the lights are cutting into my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Blessing and I have been using the video floor and stuff. And we're, I would say, average height guys above average.
Average height above average guys.
Yes, exactly. And seeing you on there, just how tall and, like, the natural light preset that we have is hitting your chest instead of your head. It was
very
funny.
Yeah.
I will say, I've recorded the second episode of The Blessing Show for the year.
Sure.
Right? I did that yesterday with Roger and Barrett. And let me tell you, I can't wait for y'all to see this episode.
I think it's going to be one of the best things that we've ever put out.
Same. I'm very excited about it. I don't want to tease what the episode is yet. I want to wait till we get closer, maybe surprise people, who knows. But I think for me, the thing that the realization I had yesterday was with teleprompter reading specifically is the fact that, one, it is such a practice to, like, get the size right and the speed right, especially when you don't have somebody manning the teleprompter for you, where I'm like, man, my eyesight fucking sucks. Let me turn this bigger. Oh, now it's going too fast. Like, managing all that stuff was one thing, but then also recording the Blessing Show yesterday made me want to go home and just, like, do the practices.
Oh, sure.
Of, like, I don't know if you've seen the TikTok trends before where people will, like, it'll be newsroom people.
Can you do the newscaster teleprompter
thing? Exactly. Like, can you keep up with the teleprompter? As I was doing yesterday, I was like, yo, I just want to sit down and just fucking master telepromptering, because it's really fun, but also it is a skill
that
you underestimate.
It's like anything else. We're having guests over and I'm trying to place an advanced lunch order. And of course, I'm like, I had it down to the wire.
You're playing it loose with the card you got in your hand there on camera.
I agree. We've paid a lot of money for these cameras. You're not catching the credit card numbers that are tilted to the side from that far away.
Who knows? I mean, these are high quality cameras.
If you are hackers, you've earned it. Enjoy it. That's Nick Scarpino's problem. Hacks the account, not me. No, I always talk about it when people want to talk about podcasting. You know, oh, I want to do what you do one day. And I'm always like, well, are you doing it now? Well, no. But I'm like, you got to get out there. It's a muscle. You got to learn to flex it. You got to go. You got your podcast, when you start them, will be terrible for the longest time, right? Mm-hmm. Telepromptering is the same thing, and it's a far different skill set than what we do every day, where it is to sit there and read and make it natural and then, like, draw out the word because you're a little bit ahead of it, so you got to wait for the next thing to get there.
Emphasize certain words real hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's a definitive skill.
Yeah, and I for me, it hit when I did the Disney Marvel Showcase thing where, you know, that was a full day of shooting. They wanted a bunch of different takes with a bunch of different lines for all these different reasons, and I don't think I'd ever been as tired as I was toward the end of that day, where it started at like 9 a.m., went until 5 of me just standing in front of a green screen delivering these lines for the full day, and then me finishing being like, thanks guys, this is awesome, me sitting in my Uber, and then just deflation and like nodding off, and me on the way to the airport being like, yo, I just need to get on this plane so I can pass out on this plane.
That was my day yesterday. Like, yesterday wasn't as intense as that big production, but even just setting for the Blessing Show and all that stuff and, like, recording all that, I think I passed out at like 9 last night, and I think I slept for 10 hours.
Those are the best, though, when you sleep, when you actually go to sleep early and you wake up and you're refreshed, or you're extra tired because you overslept. It's one or
the
other.
Exactly
always happens.
What it was.
Enough about our sleeping habits, let's talk about today's stories, which include more games media layoffs, no morality in Hogwarts Legacy, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content.
Like what?
Like what is all? I was inserting the throw. Like Kind of Feudy,
yeah.
our the quiz show we do every week that I host with you, Andy and Tim. Also like The Shit List, a show that y'all should check out because I think it's one of the best Patreon shows we do. It's at least one of the funnest to record because that of course is me and Tim. I go online, I find a top 10 list, I bring it back to Tim and Barrett, and we go through and we judge the list based on how good is this top 10 list.
Nothing like talking shit about your peers out there.
Exactly. And that's why it's on Patreon.
Listen, if you want to be mad content. At us, Mitchell Saltzman, pay the money and come find
was
out.
Was there a particular episode where I realized maybe we have too much power with the shit list? Yes, absolutely.
There was one episode we recorded a few months ago that I think was just me and Barrett, where we went through the list and we were like, yo, this list is trash. They don't even understand the premise of their own list. And what, the next day, a couple days later,
no,
the list
was
changed.
4 hours later.
Oh, 4 hours later. Updated. The list was updated with a completely different list. And me and Barry were like, ah, oh, shit, was this us? Did we do
was
this?
Was there an apology like at the top of it? Like,
no.
Editors, no. We listened to Kind of.
They changed it, and they acted like nothing happened.
We listened to Shit List, and we apologize.
I think the list was top 10 RPGs on PlayStation or something like that. And
sure.
The list was filled with non-RPG games. Me and Barry were like, okay, what's going on here? What's going on here? Twinfinite. I don't even know if it was Twinfinite. It was one of those.
Jared Petty's big pockets for Twinfinite.
Exactly. Housekeeping for you. Xbox Developer _ Direct live reactions are happening later today at noon Pacific time.
I love that you continue to pronounce the underscore. That makes me so happy.
I mean, they wrote it.
It's there on purpose.
Yeah, it's part of the branding. That's happening at noon Pacific time right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can join Mike, Andy, and Paris as they react and follow the show with an XCast breaking down what they just saw. That XCast will also be live for all you guys watching the showcase live with them. So look forward to that. I'm very excited for that. How excited are you for that? I know we're not watching it live, but are you excited?
We have a competing appointment, not because we're just like sitting it out. Like we're protesting this. Fuck you, Phil Spencer. Excitement isn't the right word. I'm anticipating it. I want to know what Redfall's date is. I want to play Redfall. Like, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what they put out here. I'm looking forward to it when we're done with our appointments and stuff today to go then be like, all right, cool. What did I miss? Let's watch the developers jump into it and stuff like that. But I think Redfall is going to be my jam, and I'm very excited for that, to play with the Jabroni boys and hang out and have that kind of thing. So I'm excited to see more and find out when that's coming.
Yeah, I'm 1,000% with you, where like I'm excited to get more info on Redfall. I'm also excited to see what the format of this thing is, because they've talked about it, but it's a different thing actually watching it and seeing their vision for it. Is this more of an intimate inside Xbox? Is this like the E3 thing that Paris hosted for Xbox? Is this like a Nintendo Direct, right? Like, are we going to get tidbits of other things? We talked about yesterday the leaked Ghostwire Tokyo Studio game that seemingly is upcoming, right? Like, are we going to see hints of that that game?
I think they're going to play this very by the book. I think what they told you what they're going to talk about, and they're going to talk about those things. And the silver lining really is that since Paris is on our live reacts, it means he didn't host this. And so I'm glad to see Xbox finally move on from him.
Jesus,
you know what I mean?
Because
I'm not going to say when Paris talks about your game, it's a curse, but Cyberpunk, Halo Infinite, all these other Xbox games he promoted and talked about, and they didn't even come out. You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like he talked a lot about Microsoft Flight Simulator, and I think that did pretty well, right?
Yeah, that was a good game.
Shut up. Just fucking roll with the bit.
More for housekeeping. Also, our Dead Space review is posting this Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. You can write into kindoffunny.com/gamescast for a chance to get your question read on the show. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny Patreon, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen! Damn it.
starting with our number one. I don't know if this one
works. I appreciate that Barrett came out, tinkered with that one, went back and hit the button. Just this one works.
Just to see.
I appreciate
just test it. Out. I appreciate
You're a good producer, Barrett.
Story number one. Washington Post is shutting down its gaming section. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. The Washington Post is making a round of layoffs and cutting its video game label Launcher in the process, according to Axios Media reporter Sarah Fisher. Fisher posted to her Twitter account a memo Washington Post executive editor Sally Busby sent to staff today, saying that the outlet is laying off 20 people from the newsroom and will not fill an additional 30 open positions that had been listed. While the memo does not mention Launcher, Fisher cited two sources with saying the Post is sunsetting both the gaming label and Kids Post, a section written for students in grades 2 through 7. The Post introduced Launcher in 2019, billing it as, quote, a dedicated section that aims to recalibrate the conversation with classically trained journalists who were raised on games, end quote. Gaming media has been hit by numerous layoffs in recent months, with IGN, Polygon, Gamebyte, Game Informer, Future, Fanbyte, Vice, and G4 all seeing cuts since last July, with G4 being shut down entirely less than a year after its relaunch. Most recently, last week saw layoffs at GameSpot and Giant Bomb, with another round of cuts at Polygon parent Vox Media. Greg Miller, I don't know if you've been on any of the episodes where we've talked about the Games Media layoffs. Where's your head been the last couple of weeks seeing all this go down?
Oh, I mean, you know. It's terrible. It's awful. It's not what you want to see. It's not what you want to hear, especially for us having the friends and knowing some of these people, whether it's just be through Twitter contact or some people we've met at a E3 or a Summer Game Fest, something like that. But in general, like when it hits so close to home and it hits so often right now, IGN, Polygon, Gamebyte, Game Informer, Future, Fanbyte, Vice, G4, Washington Post, GameSpot, Giant Bomb, Polygon, Parent, Vox Media, like, that's an outrageous amount to all be happening within these last few months. And it doesn't spell doom and gloom for our side of the industry, but it is, you know, the trickle-down effect of a recession, of people getting tight with spending, of advertisers trying to make their buck go farther and spend less right now and do a bunch of different things. And it, of course, is always the downside that we talk about of having a parent company and having a big boss. You know what I mean? I've talked about this, I think, in a Greg way in the past few weeks. But, to your point, I don't think we've talked about it here. So I want to be very careful and clear that I am not trying to pander, nor am I trying to take a shot at anybody. But what I think is very clear and what's important is the fact that by no means are we safe from ever having to let go of staff for money or whatever, but the fact that we get to be fully independent because of the support we get on Patreon, because of the support we get on Twitch, because of the support you get on YouTube, you know, all the different ways you can support Kinda Funny, even if it is just watching something. And this is not an ad for Kinda Funny, I swear, for you to come support us. That is what keeps us independent and keeps us, theoretically, knock on glass, out of this situation. Because what this situation routinely is there is a parent company, there are CEOs, there's this executive suite that is trying to figure out, okay, we're going into something bad here. We're already seeing readership dips. We're already seeing ad dips. Where do we tighten the belt? And so it's, you know, again, for it to be the Washington Post talking about eliminating multiple things, right? It's not just they came for Launcher. All 20 layoffs are from Launcher, right? It's 20 people from the newsroom and not filling 30 open positions. Like, that is both, I'm sure, we need to do this right now because of what we're seeing, and then also to protect the future and stuff like that from their perspectives. Now, of course, we could get into a whole thing. I know when this happens, especially as much as it's been happening in our sector, there's a big spin up on Twitter of everybody being like, remember, layoffs are never needed. They're a failure of leadership and da 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 da. I understand that argument. I'm not trying to counter that argument or anything to that effect. But this, again, is the argument against having a corporate overlord and having these people up there that then come in and are like, well, we need to eliminate 10% because we're trying to do with this, because we're trying to do that. You see great stuff and great people like that fall to the wayside. And so it is this tumultuous time right now that I think we are seeing in so visibly and so hearing so loudly on our side, both because it's the people who talk about your video games and then the people who make your video games, right? As you see the tech sector really taking it on the layoffs, where you're talking about Google, Facebook, et cetera, right? Twitter.
Xbox, yeah.
Exactly, Xbox. And what I've been finding comfort in to some degree, the podcast I listen to outside of the gaming space from NPR or whatever, is like, you know, usually the conversation is, there's all these layoffs happening in tech. Is that a sign for the rest of America? And usually what I hear is, no, tech is actually a very small percent. There are like two jobs for every one person out there looking for it yet in the world or in America, right? So it's not that like everything's falling apart. It's just that, again, games and what we do, enthusiast press, are all this entertainment stuff, right? It is this idea that the reason you see, I think, big companies who make your games starting to make changes is that they're seeing consumer spending start to change, or they're worried that consumer spending is about to change. Again, if you're going into a recession, where do you start to put your money? Where do you want to start doing? Are you spending less? Are you spending more? Da, da, da. And then to get to the corporate side of, okay, well, who owns IGN, GameSpot, blah, 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 blah. They're doing the same thing of like, well, again, like I said this before, and I swear this is me trying to give you a window into our side of the industry, but again, not using it at all to try to ask you to do something. You can see what's happening on a larger scale with the granular sense of Kind of Funny. And what I mean by that is, who's been sponsoring the podcast the past few weeks? Patreon.com/kindoffunny, because it's kind of feudy, because it's, hey, let's do one for the Next Gen podcast. That's because we don't have a sponsor those weeks, which is not doom and gloom. We are doing fine. Kind of Funny is doing well, again, because we have Patreon, again, because we have Twitch, because we have such a supportive audience that will go buy shirts and do all sorts of stuff. And again, you know, you look at something where it's like the Washington Post, Vox Media, you know what I mean? Like a huge thing that has a way bigger budget and a way bigger profit loss margin than what Kind of Funny does, right? We're able to understand what we've done and where we're going to do things and how it's going. But to dial it back to what I'm trying to make my point is that advertisers right now in the podcast space are being like, oof, pump the brakes here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you've been a Kind of Funny listener for a long time, I assume. You've probably heard the podcast that had 3 ads in them every week for 6 months, right? Like, that was a very big boom time right there where there was money in this. And then you come here and it's like, well, now we're not. Now it's, you know, here and there we're getting them. And then it's also the thing of like, I don't want to talk out of turn. Freshly, right? Freshly, who sponsored us for the longest time that I love so much and use so much with Jen during the pandemic. I bought my dad one. Get an email from them out of the blue. And what does it say? Y'all, hey, we're going out of business. January is our final delivery date. We're done. And it's like, whoa, you guys were just sponsoring us like 6-7 months ago, right? And that's the kind of thing you're in right now, where as the world has tried to, I don't want to say, as the world has come back from COVID and we started to find a new rhythm, right? Like when everybody was home and listening to stuff and playing video games, and it was invest all this money in that kind of space. And this is a bigger conversation. I'm kind of just rambling, and I'm not an economist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just telling you what I've heard and what I'm personally seeing and stuff like that in terms of a grander scale. So to get back to your question of like, what is all this? Like, this is all heartbreaking. You know what I mean? Like, especially for you and me, right? Because it is that idea of like, I lived through IGN layoffs. I remember being devastated saying goodbye to my friends. And I also remember being afraid of losing my dream job. And I was not the outlier. Everyone who just lost their job at all these different sites and in publications and .coms we just listed, chances are this was their dream job. And so it's heartbreaking then for me as a now old timer here, right, about to celebrate 16 years in the industry, to see these people getting laid off. And I hope it's just a knee jerk in the moment thing, but getting laid off, being on Twitter and being like, I think I'm going to leave games media. Like, this is not sustainable. This is not tenable. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me so much to go back to an old Damon Hatfield gem that he used to say on GameScoop. And I'm talking, he used to say this on GameScoop like 2008, right? But he would say, like, think of it this way. There are more working rock stars right now than there are games journalists or whatever you want to call this. Mm. Like there are more people who are like Taylor Swift's and everybody at the Grammys and this, that, and the other that are living their dream on such a grand scale than are the people who just want to review video games and talk about video games and make a living. And that was, again, nearly 2 decades ago. And so, yeah, it's like you feast and you famine in this industry of where it goes. And to see, again, back to the real story you're talking about here, when the Washington Post launcher, it's the cynicism in me, but I was like, well, that's not going to last. But it's just because I've seen so many of these happen before. I've seen so many mainstream outlets, mainstream businesses start their own .coms, poach a bunch of talent, bring people in, have this all happen. Poach sounds dirty, but you know, you give them promotions and give them, you know what I mean? And then have it, what happens? It is a hard business. It is not necessarily a super successful business. Hey, yo, Kind of Funny is super successful. By Kind of Funny standards, by what 11 people who have a shared dream of doing awesome shit is. I'm sure if Coca-Cola was like, we want to buy, what, this is all the money you guys make? No, you're nothing. You're small fish. You know what I mean? Which works for us and keeps us going and keeps everybody entertained. But you look at a bigger corporation, a bigger thing buying that, they want a big return on their investment. And so journalism in general, which again, when I was getting my degree in journalism at Mizzou from 2001 to 2005, like, I knew I wasn't going to make money, and I knew that it was a hard business to keep a job in. And so to, you know, see that come in and see mainstream stuff, people bring in talented video game writers, like, it's such a weird thing of like, oh, how much that work and will it do? And then it's the thing too of like, okay, the Post has killed Launcher, but Gene Park is still there, and a couple other people who were doing Launcher work are still there. Hmm. That gets interesting for me because this is a total Greg perspective, not anything else. I don't personally like when the Post, and I'm just using them obviously because they're the news today, we're taking video games seriously. We're starting Launcher. It's like, oh, like, if I was in that spot, I would much rather be, hi, I'm Greg Miller, and I cover video games for the Washington Post. Yeah. I'm a Washington Post reporter. It's why I think it's so awesome to see Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. Jason Schreier is at Bloomberg. He is a Bloomberg reporter. He does other stuff with the Bloomberg. His beat is video games. That is his beat. Like, mine was general assignment, right? Like, when I was a general assignment reporter, but I wasn't in the, hey, go to the general wacky pages, and that's where you'll find me and three other people bringing you the general wacky story. Like, that's not how I like to see it envisioned. I like to see that it's part of a newsroom team. It's a thing. And again, is this the first step of moving away from that? Da-da-da. You know, this is also hilariously, yesterday, this all happens. At the same time, the New York Times put out that thing where it was like, until a few years ago, video games were just for kids, yeah, but now they're $1 billion. It's like, oh, like, what year is it? Yeah. What year like,
there's
is
a better
it?
Way to do this, especially if you're a bigger outlet.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot here, and it hits so close to home for me on so many levels of, you know, being a trained journalist, having worked in a newsroom, obviously doing this and this being my life and my passion, running a business and yada, yada, yada. Like, there's so much of me and my literal industry tied up in this that I could go on and on. And I'm sorry that I've ranted so much. And I don't know if I actually answered your question, but it is that thing of overall, it's heartbreaking. And I would rather see the Post and anybody else who wants to take games seriously, just hire gaming reporters and put them on your team.
Yeah, 1,000%. And you answered my question above and beyond what I was even looking for, right? We're like,
it's bad. it's there's bad. Like an alternate reality where I just click and busting will remember that.
Yeah. And that's my thing, right? Like, one of the things you mentioned is how just disheartening it is, right? To see all these outlets, right? With people that are working their dream job, right? Get laid off. Yeah. And a lot of people just get very, I don't know what the word is, I guess it's disheartened, right? Like,
sure,
get discouraged about seeing their coworkers laid off, right? There are so many people I follow on Twitter, pretty much anybody I follow on Twitter that works in games media, that in some way, through the butterfly effect of how everything is so intimate in games, right? And how everything is so, like, everybody knows everybody, to where these layoffs have affected everybody, right? Like, you're talking about how this hits close to home. Literally, like, my roommate got laid off from Fanbyte a couple weeks ago, right? And going through the list of, you know, IGN. I was an IGN listener. You literally worked at IGN. Polygon. I grew up reading so much Polygon. Game Informer. I literally had owned Game Informer magazines, right? The list goes on in terms of, again, Fanbyte. My roommate worked there. G4. If not for G4, I don't know if I would be doing Kind of Funny, because that was my first exposure to anything close to games media, right? Like, these are so many outlets that I have a connection to or I look up to in different sorts of ways. And to see each and every one of these outlets suffer from either layoffs or getting closed down or having some sort of macro issue in terms of their talent having to get laid off, right? It sucks. And I understand anybody in games media that is like, damn, this might not be for me anymore, because I feel like everybody feels like they have a target on their head, right? Like, it could happen in
this
any
could
day.
All go away tomorrow.
Exactly.
100%.
And so it's super scary. I do want to bring in a question from Charlie, who writes in kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says this. Hey, y'all. All these layoffs in games media are terrifying. I've been working in the space for about 3 years now and haven't really seen widespread firings even close to this scale or breadth. Obviously, some of this comes from broader economic circumstances, but at the end of the day, some of these companies are still making these choices even after a profitable year. How do we, as creators, writers, and producers, make this a more secure industry to work in? P.S. It was great meeting you both at the Game Awards. And it's an interesting question. I think you touched on it a little bit in terms of why Kind of Funny works as an independent entity versus a lot of other outlets that are owned by a corporate overlord. I think it really is, from the audience level, you got to support the people that are out there, right? There are so many people, I'm sure, that are being laid off right now that are going to go on to start the I forget the tip jar sites that people will put out there so you can give them like a dollar
or coffee thing.
Who are putting up the coffees or doing those obviously. Sites or patrons that could use your support. And that audience support goes a long way, especially compared to something like a corporate overlord having to oversee everything you're doing, right, in terms of your pay. On the audience level, support these individual creators whose work you love, right? Actually go after these creators and show them that love. But then on the worker side, like, I do think that, you know, having solidarity with your coworkers, unions, right, these things go a long way in terms of trying to keep that safety, right? And trying to have at least some sort of barrier, some sort of route of communication to your to the actual company you work for,
yeah.
Right? Like, I think finding those different ways in which you can protect yourself as a worker is going to go a long way.
Yeah, unionization is the first step. The longer goal for, at least from my perspective, is restructuring our economic structure. I know there's a better way to put that, but... That's pretty much hopefully the long-term goal, to protect workers and to protect people who are actually putting in their 9-to-5.
For the short term, this is not even armchair quarterback in this situation, but to Charlie's question in terms of advice, how do we as creators, writers, producers make this a more secure industry to work in? Yes, unionization. Yes, talking, everything we just talked for long-term, like we're talking about, right? In the short term, and this might seem silly, but let me make the argument, and I could be wrong, and you can... Obviously, you're free to always disagree with me. How do we make it more secure for creators, writers, and producers? Share the awesome shit. Share the awesome shit. Washington Post introduced Launcher in 2019, billing it as, quote, a dedicated section that aims to recalibrate the conversation with classically trained journalists who were raised on games, end quote. These layoffs happened yesterday. I see the tweet threads about all the amazing work going on. I see... I don't want to say names or even guess what the position was, but somebody who was on the Launcher staff being like, and the real thing was, the heartbreaker is, we're not doing bad. We're doing well. We're doing these different things. I don't see this stuff shared. Did they create a dedicated section that recalibrated the conversation? I don't know. And this isn't me taking shots at them, right? But what I'm saying here, and the argument I'm launching you into is this. Yesterday, Gene didn't get laid off. Gene Park is who I associate with Launcher. When I was at IGN, I didn't get laid off. Other people did while I was there. I'm not saying that it's because of stardom. I am saying it's something to do with being known, though. And I think that every fucking day on Twitter, Instagram, you name it, what gets shared by everyone, ourselves included, like our side of the industry included, is, oh my fucking God, look at this dumb take. Oh my God, look at this dumb clip. Oh my God, look at the... It's never, hey, did you read this? You should have looked. Have you watched this video? Like, how hard is it? I mean, how proud of the Blessing Show are you? So proud, right? It's like, it's a prestige project we all love. We think it's amazing. But like, how hard is it to get people to click on that link? You know what I mean? And I get it, because I do it the same thing where I bookmark something to come back to later. I'm busy. I don't have headphones, yada, yada, yada. But it's that idea that I don't see a network of support on the daily for our industry saying, hey, this is great. Hey, this review was awesome. You should go look at it. This might sound like peanuts, and it probably is. But what I'm saying is, if you were seeing social media penetration, if you were seeing an uptick in views, if you were seeing more conversation, if it suddenly was becoming, man, person X at IGN does these fantastic video essays. Everyone talks about them. They're on Game Mess mornings. They are co-hosting Games Daily and stuff. Like they're coming on. They're promoting their things. They're doing this stuff. I think it would be a harder argument for that one position, which I know, again, I'm you know, pulling freaking Superman here, or trying to save one person and not the entire city or whatever. Like, it would be harder to eliminate that person. And so maybe, you know, to Charlie's question, what I'm giving is my idea of a playbook on how to try to protect yourself at a company. But I think we could protect each other in the same way, where it would be that I am no longer, nor was I ever, asked by Ziff Davis what they should do with their IGN staff, right? But if it can be this idea that, well, we need to eliminate 10% of, well, you can't eliminate this person. Their videos do really well. They're associated with the site. It would be a big brouhaha. And this, again, I know only protects the people you see in front of the camera or writing the articles. Whenever this happens, right, there are layoffs at GameSpot Giant, blah, 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 blah. Who is it? The majority of them? video producer, somebody in the back end, an engineer, all this stuff that like you aren't getting that thing. And I can only speak from my experience of talking about creators, writers, and producers. How do you make them invaluable? And that's the thing, is you got to make yourself invaluable to these companies, which again, then you're into a conversation of work-life balance. Then you're into a conversation of crunch. Then you, I get all that, right? Like, I personally understand how tough it is, right? Of like, if I was on the outside and I'm launching this amazing video, this amazing thing, this amazing review, I would want to be like, oh, shoot, I should hit up all the podcasts I liked and try to get on there and try to talk to them and yada, 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 right? That works here too. We're about to review Dead Space. I've hit up nobody to be like, hey, I'm reviewing Dead Space. I should probably come on your content, right? You do a blessing show. I try to get you on podcasts. And when I say try to get you on podcasts, it's a bullet point in our weekly meeting that you and I usually skate past, because guess what? There are 15 other fucking fires to put out, or things to talk about, or things we're excited about. Like, it is a weird thing right now. And at the core of it, I guess, is just, I think as an industry, both the people creating the content, the people consuming the content, you need to share what you love. We're so motivated to share what we hate. And I think it does not reflect well on us as gamers. And I also don't think it reflects well on the people who are making great stuff. I watched the G4 live stream when they launched it. I am close personal friends with Austin Creed. And beyond that, I saw a clip here and there. I know they did some arena show with other WWE superstars, but I never popped in, right? I know, you know, we know Danny so well, right? And I mean, Danny's an interesting one, right? Because you're talking about Danny formerly at G4, right? And Danny did the kids book, right? And was fucking everywhere, because Danny is a fucking hustler and knows how to get it done, right? And it's that thing of, that is awesome and there needs to be more of that, but even that couldn't save G4, which is a different argument, a different conversation. But like, that's the whole thing of where we're at with all this. It's so incredibly difficult to be like, oh, well, this would have done that. Especially when it comes down to, it's a person at the top. It's a person saying, we need to cut 10% of our workforce across everything. Where does that go?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking a lot about support today. If you want to support us, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsor.
Yo, what's up? I'm Blessing, the host of Kind of Feudy, the show where I ask members of Kind of Funny to answer questions like,
name a game where you can fight giant enemies. Name a type of animal you can play as in Diddy Kong Racing. Name a PlayStation character who you'd want on your pickup basketball team.
Name a game genre that Greg Miller refuses to play. Good Games is not on there, but it was written in quite a bit. And see how many audience members voted for that answer, and it usually makes them kind of mad. Red Faction is our 30-point answer.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah, baby!
That is our fourth most popular answer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa!
I'm still waiting for Bless to be like, just kidding.
Once again,
you guys are so bad at this game!
Catch up on the latest episodes right now, exclusively on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Story number two. There's a Hogwarts Legacy preview embargo that's gone up. And there's been one conversation that's kind of been dominating the social media space, specifically.
Fuck J.K. Rowling.
There have been two conversations that have been dominating the social media space. One of them is the J.K. Rowling conversation, which we'll get to, I'm sure. But then the other one is about the morality system, or the lack of morality system in Hogwarts Legacy. Story number two, Hogwarts Legacy doesn't care if you use unforgivable curses. This is Ethan Gotch at Kotaku. Warner Brothers' big Harry Potter game is just around the corner, and is continuing to sound very weird in some very specific ways. According to a new developer interview, Hogwarts Legacy won't judge you if you want to do some crimes, whether that's blowing people up or going full Voldemort and deploying a bevy of unforgivable curses. A bunch of previews for the game dropped today ahead of its February 10th launch, and one over at GamesRadar discussed the game's amorality at some length. Editor-in-chief Sam Loveridge described a section of the game where you can choose to take on dragon poachers via stealth or straight offense, one in which she accidentally launched an explosive barrel into the enemy camp, blowing them up along with a nearby bridge. This conventional, quote, play it your way, end quote, approach will apparently include a few consequences, however. Quote, it was important for us to give players who sought out to be dark, a dark witch or wizard, an opportunity to do so. Lead designer Kelly Murphy told GamesRadar. They continue, quote, this is the ultimate embodiment of role-playing, allowing the player to be evil. Additionally, this was important because it comes from a place of non-judgment by the game's creators. If you want to be evil, end quote. This extends to J.K. Rowling. No, this extends this extends even to the game's unforgivable curses, which, in the strict morality system of the Harry Potter books, warrant life sentences in prison. On the few occasions when the titular hero uses them, it's generally portrayed as a last resort and a breach of ethical boundaries. That was apparently too puritanical for Hogwarts Legacy. Quote, Characters will react visually and audibly to seeing the player cast an Unforgivable, but we don't have a morality system that punishes them for doing so. This would be too judgmental on the game maker's part, Murphy told GamesRadar. Quote, but should the player continue these actions, the world will reflect back knowledge of them, end quote. Greg, how do you feel about the lack of a morality system for Hogwarts Legacy?
As someone who hasn't paid much attention to it and isn't a Harry Potter fan, well, you know, I like Harry Potter, the base level, whatever. The movies are fine. That seems like a big missed opportunity, right? Like, I think of KOTOR, or even, you know, well, I guess in SWTOR, you make the choice right away. But let's just talk about KOTOR, right? Where it was like, are you going to the light side or the dark side? And there was the meter tracking it, and it was, you know, you got different abilities, even Infamous, right? Of, you know, getting a different power set where you went for it. I would think that, I understand it's a video game, so you gotta, like, we're gonna bend the rules here and let you do what you want to do, but, so I would get, let you out of the Unforgivable Curses thing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, abracadabra, Baron?
Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra! you cast that on him or whatever, and then it's like, what, 30 people see you? Like, ah, fuck, Avada Kedavra! Avada Kedavra! I gotta kill you all!
I gotta kill all you.
Know, I think it'd be cool to see the, you know, swing one way or the other and have that, like, it says, the world will reflect back knowledge of them. It'd be cooler if it was like, hey, you're going towards the Voldemort side or whatever. Is he? They don't know him yet, do they, in this game?
No.
Tom Riddle hasn't put his semen in the book and in the cloak and all this other
Tom
shit.
Riddle? Exactly what happened.
Yeah. Is that the name of the actor that did Voldemort?
No, that's
his real name.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
He had a name that wasn't Voldemort?
Oh, I know. I know some Harry Potter stuff up here. Damn. Don't you worry about it. I reviewed a Harry Potter game once or twice.
Goddamn.
So it's like, okay. I mean, it's like, you know, I agree that if you want to be an evil wizard, go be an evil wizard. I think it actually sounds cool when they're like, to be a dark witch or wizard. I'm like, fuck, that does sound kind of neat. That sounds neat. But I'd rather it be like the game was kind of like, yo, you're getting all pale and you're wearing a lot of goth stuff. What's up, Wednesday? You know what I mean? I don't want that to be acknowledged. I think it'd be cool that way.
Yeah. I'm of a similar mind, right? For me, it takes me back to, there was a Starfield preview, conversation, actually. It was between Todd Howard and some of the other creators, and they were talking about some of the factions and how you can side with some of the factions and not side with some of the factions, and that in turn will affect some of your morality. But in the way that they presented it, right, they made it sound like if you go against sort of the authoritarian, like, cop faction, that might reflect badly on your character. And I remember hearing that and being like, oh, I do not like that, right? And I don't know how that's changed or if they've corrected that since then, right? But that was one where, you know, a lot of this is going to come down on how does the actual product speak when it's out, right, when it's in my hands. Does it make sense when I get there? And I'm like, oh,
are
okay,
you enjoying
I see.
It?
Am I enjoying it? Am I seeing the actual explanation for it in the actual game itself? Like, that's kind of where I'm at with this, where, you know, they're talking about all this stuff. At reading it, I'm like, oh, man, I kind of like morality systems, especially when it is a thing of, hey, you can go through and be an asshole and kill people and torture people and do all this shit. Yeah, ding me for it. Like, that is in a Harry Potter game. Yeah, like, do that.
Make people stay away. Like, again, we're talking about something that, you know, is, I don't know how many hours this our open world RPG is going to be, right? But you figure, like, so maybe this is something that you gloss over real quick. It's just a suspension of disbelief kind of thing. I mean, like, how many times have we seen Spider-Man knock a dude off the building or Batman clearly break somebody's neck and we're like, ah, they're fine. You know?
Yeah.
Batman just knocks the guy out, but he goes face down in a pool
of
water.
Web of Shadows is cool, man. Like, that's got a morality.
Don't fucking start with Web of Shadows right now. So maybe it's just like something in the moment you won't have a big thing, but it sounds just more like a missed opportunity where, again, like, if I was the Dark Wizard and I was walking through the halls and, like, people got out of my way or just the Slytherin kids came over to hang out with me, I'd be like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know what the game's like moment to moment.
Now, that part of the story is more of a 2A, right? That preview from Kotaku.
2A?
2A, right? There is a 2B.
Okay.
Shout out to Nier Automata. There's an IGN interview, or at least a snippet from an IGN interview, talking to some of the people that worked on Hogwarts Legacy, talking about some of the J.K. Rowling stuff and their reaction to it that I want to bring in here as story 2B. They're talking to Alan Tu, the game's director, and they basically asked him, like, you know, how do you guys tackle the J.K. Rowling stuff? Alan Tu responds, quote, I think for us, there are challenges in every game we've worked on. This game has been no different. When we bumped into those challenges, we went back and refocused on the stuff that we really care about. We know our fans fell in love with the Wizarding World, and we believe they fell in love with it for the right reasons, he said. Quote, we know that's a diverse audience. For us, it's making sure that the audience who always dreamed of having this game had the opportunity to feel welcomed back, that they have a home here, and that it's a good place to tell their story, end quote. 2, stopped short of mentioning J.K. Rowling by name, nor did he say anything specific about trans issues or trans rights. I asked him a second question, if he himself ever had any second thoughts about working on this IP after Rowling's biases made headlines, and after a pause, 2 reiterated his earlier statement, quote, that the team made Hogwarts Legacy for everyone. And so, another interesting tidbit in this grand conversation about playing Hogwarts Legacy, the J.K. Rowling of it, and how she's a transphobe, and how that affects a lot of people's opinions going into this game. We're in an interesting place, right? Because now we're approaching it. We're waiting on review codes. There's a question here from Squid in Space, who writes in akanafunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says this. With all the outrage across TikTok and Twitter about Hogwarts Legacy, I was wondering if you guys will be reviewing it or will be trying it out. Thank you for your time. It's been, I feel like, a minute since we've had a sit-down conversation about Hogwarts Legacy to, like, update people on where we're at.
No, it's ever, right? I don't think we've ever had it. Let's have a sit-down conversation about Hogwarts Legacy.
Where are you at with this, right? Specifically with Squid and Space's question about whether or not we're reviewing it or we'll be trying it out.
Sure. It's an ongoing conversation. And I think, as with anything else at Kinda Funny, for any video game review, it comes down to, are you, the Kinda Funny audience, interested in, are we interested in it? Because when that, when those two line up, that's when we make content, right? Like, that's how we treat every review. We are Kinda Funny. We do not review every game that comes down the pipe. But so then we're into this place with this one of like, okay, well, chat, do you want us to, I look over the chat, do you want to go do it? Do you want to see us talk about it? Do you want to see us play it? And again, like, I think also the fact of, and I know this gets lost, we're Kinda Funny. We are the wokest motherfuckers on the internet, right? Trans lives matter. J.K. Rowling fucking sucks. The things she talks about are abhorrent, and I can't believe that she is still has a platform and all these other things that are going on for it. However, we're also Kinda Funny, and so we say that, and we support that, and we do charities for that, and I'd imagine if we do go down the path of reviewing this, we will have a charity bug on there and a whole bunch of stuff that goes on, and we will talk about, again, this probably at the very top. Because guess what? Number 3 is in a very similar vein as we want to talk about Justin Roiland leaving Squanch. We'll get to that in a second. What makes Kinda Funny work, what makes us special, is our ability to wear our hearts and opinions on our sleeves and have an honest conversation with you, no matter what we do. No matter what we do. This conversation right here is inspiring angry YouTube comments. It is inspiring angry tweets at me and yada, yada, yada. As I've said before, if you're one of those people, I don't give a flying fuck about your opinion. It doesn't matter to me. I don't worry about you. I worry about the Kinda Funny audience and what they want from us. And so it is this thing of, this is a big game. This is one of WB's biggest games of the year. It is an open world, you know, go be a wizard game or whatever. That appeals to my interest in terms of the games I kind of play, right? Obviously, J.K. Rowling's opinions do not, and I don't want to ever think that us supporting this game would be supporting that. But then even in that same conversation, us supporting the game isn't that. Us reviewing the game, which is our job, is us doing it. But we don't review every game, so we could, but is this? But is the long and short of it is, if there's an interest from the audience and there's an interest from us as reviewers, then yes, we will. It all shakes out of review season of, when you get the code, what else are you working on? What are your priorities? Where are we going with it? Again, it is a huge story. It is a huge game. It is a thing of the usual. It's, of course, a situation that's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Of course.
Where I think, you know, does us skipping the game, not reviewing the game, and I say skipping the game, not reviewing the game as if we're taking a principled stand, which we could be, but it also is just like,
we skip a lot of games.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Are any of us
like,
the
I didn't play Forspoken.
All right, you missed out, brother. Are any of us the biggest Harry Potter fan? Blah, blah, blah. So if we skip it and just let it go by, are we wasting a chance for us to also say, with a video that would get a lot of views from a lot of looky-loos that aren't our normal audience, yo, we're reviewing this game, and fuck J.K. Rowling. We support trans people. We want you to, too. Here's a great charity to go do it. And now we're going to talk about the game, but remember that this fucking sucks, and it sucks there. And also, as I always talk about, remember, hundreds of fucking people worked on this game and poured their hearts and their souls and their hours and stayed away from their families and crunched probably and did all, and they aren't transphobes. They were just trying to make something really fucking cool, and it sucks that the figurehead of the entire IP is a horrible person, right? Or, and does it make more power, is it more powerful for us to say that and use our platform and to champion trans rights and be like, yo, this sucks, but we're going to talk about this game and it's up to you. We acknowledge all that happens. Here's if the game's good or not. Or does it make more sense for us to say nothing, go on? But then, as much as I love everybody else, and I'm not even going to throw shade at anybody, does a big.com website review do that like we do it? I doubt it, right? Mm. Even if they have a pull box on the side of like, yo, J.K. Rowling sucks. Like, we acknowledge that. Here's the review. you know, we're going to talk about it for an hour and a half or whatever on a show, or I'm sure multiple times we'd come back. Of course, J.K. Rowling sucks. Support this trans charity. Yada, da, da, da. I think that's more powerful personally. But I also don't want it to ever be that, like, conflated that us reviewing the game is ignoring trans rights. But I think, obviously, the way we would review it and the way we would talk about it wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's this push and pull. If I was a betting man, yes, we're going to review Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
I'm interested enough, and I think the review schedule lines up that it's going to be there. But I also think that I'll make a big stink about it and be like, yo, J.K. Rowling fucking sucks. This sucks. But, you know, this is a game made by a bunch of people who weren't necessarily like that.
Yeah. It's a whole thing to dig into, right? And I think one of the things you mentioned is that we're kind of funny, right? Which means multiple things. I think that also means that we're a bunch of individual people that have our own individual opinions about things, right? And, like, the one thing that I like about working in Kind of Funny is that there is rarely a top-down mandate of, like, hey, we're all boycotting this thing. We're all not playing this thing, right? I think there are certain things that we all stand by, right? And, like, we would hope that we all stand by. I think one of those things is that transphobia is not cool, right? That trans lives matter and that, like, you know, we don't fuck with J.K. Rowling. I think that's something that all of us here can hold hands on. I assume I haven't gotten any person by person, but just assuming, right? I assume that all of us can hold hands on
I
that.
So want to just, I want you to know I went through the entire, like, Rolodex there of Kind of Funny people name, and I'm like, you know what? I probably shouldn't even jokingly attach anyone to coming in here in, like, a wizard's outfit and be like, what?
Like, what? No, man, J.K. Rowling, my girl. But yeah, like, I think for the most part, we all align on that. I think when it comes to playing Hogwarts Legacy, I don't know if we all align, right? Like, I'm somebody who, you know, I don't want to give that game my money for the trickle-down effect, trickle-up effect, I guess, of, like, me giving the game my money and then the IP making money, and then the end result of that ending up with money in J.K. Rowling's pockets. Of course, J.K. Rowling has a lot of money. I'm sure my $60 would be
70.
My $70 wouldn't really mean much to her, right? But even still, if I was in a situation where I had to buy the game, I probably wouldn't buy the game. And also, that kind of comes back to me being a very light Harry Potter fan growing up, right? I am not a hardcore Harry Potter person, nor have I ever been a very hardcore Harry Potter person. But like, for me, that's one aspect of it, right? For me, another aspect of it is when it comes to the studio stuff of even the studio is separate from J.K. Rowling, right? Like, it's not their fault that J.K. Rowling wants to go out and say all this shit. That said, right, even within that conversation, there are multiple places we can go with it. They have a character creation system in that game that allows for different options when it comes to creating your own character, giving them the certain pronouns you want, maybe having them present male, but then, you know, having them go another way, right? Like, you can get in there and get in the nitty-gritty and create characters that reflect in ways that don't line up with what with J.K. Rowling's beliefs, right? And I think that's cool. The other half of it, though, is that I going through the quote of the IGN article in the interview, I don't like that they stray away from ever saying the words trans lives matter. And this is a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong thing, right? Is there any point in which the Hogwarts Legacy studio or anybody from that, anybody higher up in that studio has come out and been like, no, we believe in trans people. We support trans people. Have they ever said that explicitly? Because reading through and then being like, you know, hey man, we have a diverse audience. Like, we want people to play. For me, that's not enough. Right,
that's corporate lawyer speak right there.
And that's corporate lawyer speak. I'm sure that's
back to story number one of it, you said you go high up, but you go up, and it's Warner Brothers who's like coming in and be like, yeah, "Cool, you guys have worked on this game for a year and a half, and we're gonna put you in front of the microphone, and this is how you are media trained." The pause in there that the IGN reporter got when they asked the question. I'm not sure who wrote it. Sorry, and got a pause. That wasn't the person really thinking through what they were about to say in terms of like, I want to be poignant. It was, I have to say the corporate line, and here's the corporate line.
Yeah. You know? And I understand that. For me, that's still not enough.
Oh,
right?
Dude. Oh, don't get me wrong.
And,
like,
and they're definitely put in a weird place because they are licensed to be working on this IP from J.K. Rowling. So if they actively take a stance against her views, right, then that becomes a money mess of this big money maker for them, and like possibly jeopardizes that relationship, right? And so they're put in this weird situation, which I don't agree with. I think it sucks, but
Yeah. Yeah, for me it goes back to dude of the day a couple days ago that we just
what
we started a new thing on Kind of Funny Games Daily, which is dude of the day, and Brian Birmingham from Activision Blizzard. He left Activision Blizzard based off of a policy that they had, yeah. Right? And like, this is me saying that people need to leave their jobs, but I look at this, I look at the fact that, you know, the pause and saying, the team made Hogwarts Legacy for everyone, right? And not being able to explicitly say, no, we believe in trans rights, we believe in trans people. For me, I'm like, yo, if that was about race, if that was a black people thing, and I saw somebody pause and be like, nah, man, this game's for everybody, and like, and it was about a Black Lives thing, the amount of offense I would have, like, mm-hmm. I would be fucking heated. And
so this is an interesting experiment. Because again, I think the personal problem I have, and that isn't the right way to phrase this, not even the dilemma about this, are you reviewing Hogwarts, are you, I support, you know, trans people, I'm not a trans person, so as much as I can read or talk to people, I'll never truly understand the experience, right? And to the credit, I've seen so many different think pieces from trans individuals who are like, play the game or don't play the game or whatever, or understand if you're playing, like, there's so many things going on that it isn't just like there's even a, this is what we're asking you to do as a community, because of course that's fucking impossible. I'm not asking for that. I digress. Mm-hmm. Not being trans and also not being a Harry Potter fan puts me in such a, I don't, my job would be to review the game, but I want to support, but is it really doing, and blah, blah, blah. I think it would be a different equation if it was, for you, it wasn't about trans lives, it was about Black lives. Mm-hmm. For me, if it was a Superman game. You know what I mean? What if WB was finally making a Superman game? And I guess this is even harder because, of course, you know, the people who created Superman are long dead. So yeah. It's not like the creator of Superman's being like, yo, anything horrible. You know what I mean?
Course,
like, it's this weird, it's so hard to get into the issues and understand the art.
Yeah, there's so much grain in it. There's so much levels of separation between JK, the studio, the Warner Brothers being above the studio that's dictating them saying these things below the studio, right? Yeah. And then us as reviewers and us also as audience members, right? This has been a thing approaching this game where I've not known where I'm going to land by the time this thing comes out. Like, I would like to review it, or I'd like to at least check this game out for the sake of, I play games for my job, and this looks like a game that I would play, that I would want to play. On the other hand, right, like, if I didn't play this game, I feel like I'd be missing little because I'm not a Harry Potter person. But then also, I don't like how the studio has been pulled back from talking about these things,
sure,
right?
Muzzled,
right, in a sense. And also, I don't like J.K. Rowling, and so it's a whole weird thing. To answer the question from Squid in Space about, like, will we be reviewing it? Will we be trying it out? I still don't know if I'm going to be on the review, right? And maybe that comes down to how far I get in the game.
Are you going to try it out? Yeah, I was going to say, you want to try it out?
Yeah,
there, right?
I'm going to boot up the game. Yeah. But
well, you think you're going to get the press start? You're like, no, I can't!
God damn it. I mean, listen, that happened for Forspoken for me. Where I played the
you
demo.
You played the demo of Forspoken.
I played
you
the demo at least, but then I played 15 minutes and I was like, I'm good.
I think there's a bunch of different ways that we can do it and use our space and our platform to make sure we're like, yo, this fucking sucks, and here's a way to help, and here's a way to support. I think it's a super simple thing, and I know it's like obviously not millions of dollars. I would say that if I'm pitching this to you, and I'm sure Tim is not listening, and I'll have to go pitch it to him. I would say all the money earned on that YouTube version, we donate to a charity as well, whatever charity we choose to put in, and say we're doing this, you know, blah blah. And if you I know it kind of reminds me of how like Gary with Chick-fil-A. I don't know if he still does, but in the old days, Gary used to be like, yeah, I love Chick-fil-A, so I'll go there, I'll eat there, and then I'll double a pledge to a LGBTQ organization or whatever, right? And really fucking stick it to him that way. It's like, and that's the other thing too, is like, we need to move on to a story that is also not good.
It's also not fun.
But it's like, guess what? At every fucking corporation, everything you go up, there's fucking douchebags or horrible people that you won't agree with that are making money off of you doing the thing. Again, they aren't necessarily the person who created it. They aren't necessarily the person who like made the fucking thing you loved so much and had your Hogwarts themed wedding about and all this other shit.
Speaking of which, a person that did create a thing that a lot of people love so much. Story number three, Justin Roiland resigns as CEO of Squanch Games. This is Marie D'Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Justin Roiland has resigned from his position as CEO of Squanch Games. In a tweet announcing the news, the High on Life studio said his resignation was received on January 16th. Squanch Games added that it will continue to support High on Life, which released on December 13th, 2022, and quote, keep developing games we know our fans will love, end quote. Justin Roiland is also the studio's co-founder. Earlier this month, he was charged with felony domestic battery with corporal injury and false imprisonment by menace, violence, fraud, and or deceit. The Rick and Morty creator has also been dropped by Adult Swim, the show's distributor. In a statement released yesterday, Senior VP of Communications, Marie Moore, said that Adult Swim had, quote, ended its association with Justin Roiland, end quote. Rick and Morty is due to continue, but talking to sources close to the matter, The Hollywood Reporter said that Roiland's voices are set to be recast. Another one, Greg.
I can't tell you how livid it all makes me. I just, and again, it's I guess, you know, just how you're raised, where you, I can't fathom how hard it is for people to be a good person. Like, it is not hard to be a good person and not be abusive and horrible. And I mean, and I know that, like, you know, I've seen this go around. Obviously, these are allegations. There has, you know, innocent until proven guilty. You want to do all that stuff. That, let's pull up the fucking DMs that no one's bothered to call. How hard is it to be a decent fucking person? It is not hard to not exert your will on someone, to not make, and like,
yeah,
it's just, it's the most maddening thing in the world. I don't understand how people can think any of this would be okay, let alone to have the level of success Justin Roiland has had and be like, here's what I'm gonna fucking do. And I know that, like, don't get me wrong, I understand everybody's lives are hard, you know what I mean? I always go back to one time where you were the up-and-comer and you did a We Have Cool Friends with me. And at the end, I was like, do you have any questions? And you said, yeah, what's it like being Greg Miller? And I flubbed the answer. I don't remember. I gave no good answer. But the real question I should have asked you is, what do you think it is to be Greg Miller, right? Because now you work with me and hang out with me. And, like, you know, I'm just a person, right? Like, I don't know how successful or cool anybody thinks I am. I'm sure they don't. But, like, I go home and I got to fucking do the laundry and I got to help, you know, get Ben changed. And I got, like, I'm worried about paying bills and I'm worried, oh, my God, what's going on with the garage? Like, it's like, I understand that no, your level of success does not make you immune to being a human being, but I don't understand how it doesn't help you not be a horrible fucking person. Yeah. And the fact that we continue to see this, it breaks my heart not to see fucking Justin Roiland throw away his reputation. Fuck him, the people he's hurting. And then again, to go back to it, yesterday, we put them together. Squanch Game Statement and Rick and Morty, right? And when Rick and Morty got announced of, like, hey, he's gone, we're continuing, voice recast, everybody, and I'm not even, there was a big outcry of, like, what the fuck? Just cancel the show. You know what I mean? Get over the show. It's, I think it was Adult Swim, you know, Rick and Morty or Adult Swim, one of the accounts put out another statement that was just like, the hundreds of people who work on this are going to keep working. And it's like,
yeah,
think about that, right? Again, how fucking stupid, arrogant, just what an asshole you must be to not only hurt a fucking person, to make other people on the internet be uncomfortable and say horrible fucking things on a DM, not understanding that they're going to screen cap this and use this against you, to then gamble the lives of hundreds of people, their livelihoods, the people who make Rick and Morty, the people who work at Squanch Games. And again, I think when you talk about, similar to how we're talking about video games and what we do, right? The people out front, right? Like the voices of Rick and Morty. Like, I don't know. I don't watch the show enough. But the other celebrities that are, Chris Harmon, one of the guys from Dan SNL. Harman. It doesn't matter. Chris Parnell. He's fine, I'm sure. He's not worried about losing his job. But the fucking animators, the producers, the writer, you know what I mean?
Of course, like, yeah.
I don't know who writes it. So, but you know what I mean? As you go deeper and deeper into it,
I mean,
yeah.
That's why I was glad to see the part of Squanch Games saying we're going to keep developing games we know our fans will love. Because there's another reality where it's like, well, Squanch Games is done from here because so much of Squanch Games is Justin Roiland, right? Like a lot of those games are just based off of him riffing and him voicing the main characters and him doing his improv and his vision, right? Like he was the lead there. He had so much of the creative input there. I love that there's still a studio there that is going to go forward and possibly make either High on Life 2 or a different game and not have to worry about Justin Roiland and continue to exist, right? Like that's my big hope for Squanch Games is that after Justin Roiland, they're able to continue to thrive and make unique games. Because like I loved High on Life as a unique, funny, like here's a different sort of game that is on the AA level, but it's going to hit for an audience of people. I really hope that Squanch Games is able to do that. But I especially love that they're going to have the opportunity to try and do that.
I hope, man. I hope that is the case and that continues on and that they're able to do it. Because it is one of those things of both reading the Rick and Morty's will continue as more Rick and Morty. I was like, will it though? And I know that they've optioned, what is it, like three more seasons or something
to go until
ridiculous.
Season 10.
It's like, I don't know. Like, will you withstand the backlash from that? And then Squanch Games, yeah. Like, how do you, you know, I feel like you got to change your name probably. You got to
change
going.
A lot probably.
And you can't, I mean, you say High in Life too. No way. Mm-hmm. That's radioactive. All that's radioactive. Because again, like, it'll be these interviews with IGN. Of like, oh, cool, you're making High on Life too. What was it like when you found out Justin Roiland did all? You know what I mean? How hard was it to bounce back from, you're like, ugh, and like do a new IP and a new thing with a new person, a new writer, and then you're still going to get those questions. Yeah, and it's been a long road for these 4 years, you know, starting now to the next thing or whatever as you are. But like, even then, it's like, I'm saying that. Let's talk again about the dollars and cents of making video games, right? Like, who is financing that next game? Because that, again, they are maybe even a radioactive studio. Mm. Of like, do you really come in and finance them knowing that's what's going to happen? Also, the guy who was the guy for the thing is gone. So it's like, no matter what you do, it's going to be compared to everything else. Oh, it wasn't as funny as High on Life. Oh, it wasn't this. Oh, they're really missing him. It sucks. He's a horrible person or whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Allegedly. Like, there's all these different things where it's like, if I was gung-ho about it, if I'm over at Xbox and I'm Phil, it would be like, cool, dissolve it, we'll start a new studio with all of you, come over here. Let's announce Squanch Games is done, but all of you come work for Xbox and you're gonna be P2 Games.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll workshop the name. We'll workshop the name. You know what I mean? But it's like, again, you're gambling with people's fucking lives. 100%. Be a good person. It is not hard.
Story number 4. GoldenEye 007 comes to Switch Online and Xbox Game Pass this week. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. N64 classic GoldenEye 007 will finally arrive on Nintendo Switch's Online Expansion Pass and Xbox Game Pass on January 27th. Announced via Nintendo's YouTube channel and the Xbox Wire, the long-anticipated release date finally confirms when players can jump back into the role of James Bond, both in single-player and its beloved multiplayer. Those looking to play the game on Switch will need both Nintendo Switch Online and its expansion pass that adds the N64 digital library, while Xbox users will be able to download it for no additional cost via Xbox Game Pass. The two versions of the game aren't identical, however, as only the Switch version will include online multiplayer, the first time this feature has been officially available for the 26-year-old game. The Xbox version will be a remastered edition that includes new control options, achievements, 16:9 resolution, and up to 4K Ultra HD resolution. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like GoldenEye, but I actually played more of The World Is Not Enough, which was the blue cartridge on N64. Sadly, I didn't own GoldenEye, but I played the hell out of that, and I just have a lot of nostalgia when it comes to 007 games. So
I loved GoldenEye growing up. That was a big one for me and my friends in high school, going back to Michael Bryant's house and playing GoldenEye. So I have lots of fond memories of it. I don't think I'll probably do too much with this. This strikes me as one of those ones I'd boot up, play for like a couple matches, and be like, all right, cool. It'll be a fun stream if, you know, Mike and Andy get off their asses, you know what I mean? Do something.
That's my thing is, the campaign in GoldenEye, I imagine, takes only a couple hours to get through. I could see myself doing one campaign run through.
Yeah.
And that being my time.
I just like, even just like watching the trailer there of the facility where you go through and the bathroom and stuff and seeing the train sequence, I'm like, yeah, I could play this again.
Yeah.
Even with that terrible control scheme.
I mean, now it's on Xbox.
Series X version.
So fingers crossed they got the controls figured out, because I think that's the tough thing there. Story number 5. What is Drinkbox cooking? I asked this question because yesterday at Drinkbox Studios on Twitter tweeted out, we're hiring for a bunch of positions: a 3D character artist, a senior 3D environment artist, and a junior programmer. See job descriptions and apply here. Then they link the job listing website. I took notice of this though.
Oh, did you?
Because of...
I took notice because
3D...
What do I spy with my eagle eye?
The word's 3D. Am I crazy here in thinking that that's kind of wild for Drinkbox, that they're working on a 3D game, or that's noteworthy?
Didn't Severed have 3D assets, Greg? I wouldn't know.
No. Well, I mean, like... Kind of. When you're saying 3D, you mean like moving in a 3D environment, 3D like space. Rotate the camera around him is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm envisioning. Maybe it is a Severed thing, but also it could be.
Well, Severed I wouldn't even bring up. I would think even like Nobody Saves the World, right? Where you're moving the character around. Oh. Granted, I mean, it's like, it's, you know, isometric or whatever, but like.
To bring more info in, right? Like on there, I went to the senior 3D environment artist page. They talk about responsibilities, and they talk about concept art sketches into volumetric props, architecture, and environment.
Volumetric props, yes.
Yeah. So volumetric for me implies like,
yeah, that would give it. If Andy wasn't sick, we could ask him. You know what I mean? He was all about volumetric fog.
I just want to put that on
my
radar.
I put that Andy accent on there. I'm just excited for Gearbox doing more. I love Gearbox. Sever didn't click for me, so I'm excited for something new or different or whatever the next
one.
Nobody Saves the World didn't click for me. Love Sever.
Sever's fired.
Platinum.
Last news story, story number 6. AEW Fight Forever's release date is reportedly in limbo due to ESRB rating issues. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. AEW Fight Forever's release date is reportedly in limbo due to issues with the ESRB. Aren't you part of the ESRB? Aren't you the voice
of the ESRB? I'm just their voice.
So it's your fault. It's claimed that the upcoming All Elite Wrestling game no longer has a firm release date. Due to the game failing to acquire the ESRB rating that AEW and publisher THQ Nordic had hoped for. According to WrestleZone...
What, you get adults only? Like, you're going down on somebody in the ring? What the fuck's happening over there?
According to WrestleZone, citing sources close to the situation, it said the amount of blood and gore in the game prevented it from achieving a teen rating on multiple attempts.
Okay, nice.
While it's unclear which issues the ESRB has issues with, it should be noted that AEW often presents wrestling matches featuring significantly more blood and heightened violence than its rival, WWE. It's possible that the virtual representation of this content has caused the game to fail to achieve the desired rating. AEW Fight Forever's release date has been a constant unknown. In June last year, AEW star Kenny Omega said he hoped that the game was on schedule to release for 2022. When this was clearly no longer possible, the game was then set for a release in February 2023. According to WrestleZone, that February window now seems unlikely, and with WWE 2K23 planned for March, AEW fans may be in for a longer wait for the company's debut game. Greg, how much does that hurt?
Not that much. This is a game I'm looking forward to because, of course, I want to see competition for 2K. I want to see what a modern No Mercy looks like and stuff like that, but I can wait. I also have my expectations set on this being a solid, and I hope I'm wrong, 7.75. I think this is going to be a...
I hope it's up there, honestly.
I hope this is going to be a building block game, right? Of like, here's what it is. It's like kind of like... It reminds me, for my wrestling fans out there, probably I'm expecting what WWE's modern... So 2K23 is to WWF WrestleMania 2000 on N64. Mm. What AEW is to a Hardcore Revolution ECW from Acclaim. You know what I mean? Like, we were like, oh, I love ECW, so I'll play this game. But clearly we've moved on. I don't know. I'm hoping for a solid wrestling engine that's fun. Apparently a lot of blood, a lot of sex. Looking forward to
a lot of fucking in the ring.
A lot of fucking in the ring. I'm throwing that out there.
Greg,
but I'm ready for it. I wish it would come out, of course.
I can't ready to throw down and go down in the ring and AEW Fight Forever.
Ready. I was really struggling.
I can't wait to get to play some AEW Fight Forever, sure. But the release date is probably just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grab shops today, where would I look?
The official lists of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
I had the coffee at the beginning of the show, and then the top three news stories just
sailed by.
I absolutely just destroyed the effects of the coffee. Out today, we got A Maiden Astrologer Divines the Future for PC, Clunky Hero for PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, and Xbox, and The Excavation of Hobbs Borrow for Switch. New days for you. Journey to the Savage Planet escapes Google Stadia and lands on PS5.
I like how they put that. They put that there to be like, not so much that it's escaping a dead platform, but that's definitely what it sounds like.
1,000%. It's landing on PS5 and Xbox Series X on February 14th. And then Football Manager 2023 is coming to PS5 on February 1st. Greg, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Chris I writes in with a longer one for yesterday's Games Daily, actually.
I mean, you guys sucked yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, man. It was all the law talk. So Chris I says, I'm a lawyer, and I wanted to clarify. I wanted to clarify something. There's no scarier way to start a sentence, by the way, by saying you're a lawyer. And I wanted to clarify something for you guys about the legal stuff from yesterday. Quote, scope of their production in the Sony/Microsoft story is another legal term, like quash, that actually means the scope of how much documentation Sony will be required to produce to the parties. In other words, Microsoft and SIE are negotiating about how much information Sony is going to have to give over is going to have to give over to the parties, being Microsoft, Activision, and the FTC.
When you get blessed to lean in, you know this is fucking serious.
Yeah. For their legal case. While production schedules may be a part of it, I'd have to guess that the biggest request for Microsoft will be the terms of its exclusivity agreements with entities like Square Enix. At least that's what I would do. This is all part of the discovery process, which is what we in the legal field, even in my past life as a prosecutor, the process of exchanging information. There you go. I appreciate it.
This giant read. There you go. I got nothing to add to that. You sound too smart, and we will move on.
I'm not going to argue with you there, Chris. You sound like you know what you're talking about. Let's see. Nano says, how long to beat Clock's GoldenEye at 9.5 hours for a first playthrough? I don't believe that for a second.
No?
9.5
hours? That was those dumb kids back in the day when GoldenEye first came out and we didn't know how to play video games. We know how to play video games now.
We do know how to play video games now. I mean, I'm judging by how quickly I would get through The World Is Not Enough. Granted, I played World Is Not Enough like 50 times all the way through because I just had fun replaying that game.
This sounds like another speedrun stream. You speedrun through GoldenEye?
Let's do it. If I can beat 9.5 hours, I get a fun trophy.
Wow. Like, I make it for you? I buy it. I'm not going to make the trophy.
You can buy it. Okay. I'll let you buy it.
Thank you.
And
I love
then
buying you things.
MadogNick96 says, when talking about Drinkbox, Greg said Gearbox a couple of times.
Oh, my apologies.
And that's it.
They're Canadian, you know.
.com/you're wrong. Drinkboxes or Gearbox?
Nice try. Drinkboxes.
Oh, okay.
Gearbox, get out of here, because I know that Gearbox mainly based in Texas, but I think they got one up there now, too. I think they got
I was going
to get Texas. Those tax credits, let alone when the Embracer Group's involved. Who knows? Do you ever think about it? The Embracer Group is the Last of Us HBO fungus to the video game industry, where it's just everywhere. You step on Gearbox Austin.
All of a sudden, Crystal Dynamics is like, whoa, what's that? Whoa.
They rush over there.
Spoilers for episode 2. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily.
That's exactly how the infected got up. Whoa. What's happening over there?
Popeyes they built? Let's rush over. Tomorrow's host, that's a reference to when they built a Popeyes in Champaign, Illinois. And the whole town went crazy. That Popeyes had lines for days. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me.
Were you in the line?
Tim. No, I waited for it to all blow over.
Okay, I like that.
I had to wait a few weeks.
Blow over.
it was the whole horde thing. Right?
I hear you.
I can't be in the middle of the horde. Tomorrow's hosts are going to be me and Tim. Friday's hosts are going to be Tim and me, of course, if you're watching this live. After this is Mike and Andy hanging out before we react live to the Xbox. It's going to be just Mike hanging out before we react live to the Xbox Developer _ Direct. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.